I'm here with Gordon Hogenson, a programming writer on the Visual Studio User Education team. Tell me about what you do here at Microsoft.
Well, I have a great deal of fun working on F#. So I write all of the documentation for F#, at least a good chunk of it. But I'm spending all my time now trying to explain to either C# users or functional programmers or anybody that wants to learn F#. I try to explain how it all works.
Cool. So you wrote a couple of topics about patterns and match expressions. Is this similar to regular expressions?
Well, I would say that they are different, but there are some areas of commonality. So if you think about a regular expression, what a regular expression is you're taking text and you're extracting, maybe substrings essentially from that text. So a pattern is a way, it's sort of an innovative language concept that F# has. And so what it does is it lets you take some kind of data, whatever data structure you have. It doesn't have to be a string like a regular expression, but it could be whatever data you might have. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to depending on the context. Like if you have one common thing that you can do with patterns is you can have branching control based on which pattern matches that data the best. So the pattern is what the data is compared against. And then, actually a good analogy is the switch case statement. So you could think of the match expression as sort of an enhanced version of a switch case kind of statement. Now you think about a switch case statement, it lets you take a piece of data, which really is just a variable, and then it gives you various patterns, different values to compare against. And then it goes to various code depending on what, is the best match. So with the match expression, it's kind of more generalization. Like with the switch case statement, you're kind of limited to comparing a one variable against a different set of values. But with a match expression, you're sort of comparing arbitrary data with a rich set of more complex patterns. There are some ways that you can use patterns in some of the ways that you would use regular expressions. It's like if you have some more complex piece of data and you want to sort of decompose that into and extract, information, it's just a more generalized concept than a regular expression.
Okay. So in the topic, you list some of the supported patterns in F#. So can you walk us through some of the examples? Like, for example, what is a constant pattern?
A constant pattern is very much like a like we were just talking about with a case statement. So if you take a look at this code example, I've got a function here, which is called test123. And it basically consists of a single match expression, where I'm taking that value, a value that's passed into the function, and I'm comparing it with these are various patterns, and this is a very simple pattern called the constant pattern, and it really is just a constant. So I have here 1, 2, or 3, and so as you can see, this is very much like a case statement. And just if you haven't seen these expressions before, the pipe symbol is used between each of the patterns that are candidate patterns. And then there's a sort of forward arrow between the pattern itself and the expression that is to be executed when that pattern is a match. And the way this works is it goes through looking at each of the patterns in turn and taking the input value, and if the first pattern that matches will result in that expression being returned or executed. So you also notice this one uses constant patterns 1, 2, and 3, but it also uses this underscore, which acts as a wildcard character. So that's actually a wildcard pattern, which will match anything really. So the wildcard pattern is often used kind of like the default option in a case statement, so it will match pretty much anything else. So, you know, unlike a case statement, you don't have to, you know, there's nothing, no equivalent to sort of the break keyword. These don't just automatically cascade to the next one. They, you know, this is the, this expression here is evaluated, and then that's the value of the overall match expression. So there's no need for anything like break. So, you know, if you haven't used F sharp a whole lot, or used the IDE, F sharp and the IDE, one thing that you can do is, if I wanted to run some code, so I've got the ability to get that code to run in the interactive window. If I hit Alt Enter and see the interactive window here, and we could actually pin that so that it doesn't auto hide. And the code that I just ran produced two values, result one and result two. And if I pass one, then this resulting string is, you have here, found a one, and the second result is the result of matching 10 to the wildcard pattern. So that's the constant pattern. Yeah, you'll want to obviously use other patterns than that. And so I'll just show you a few other things you could do in these match expressions with patterns. This variation here shows you that you can stack patterns together, and you know, you can also do this with a case statement, so this should be somewhat familiar. This is the way in which you would say that this is actually an OR pattern, so now I'm matching either 1, 2, or 3, and then this last pattern here is called a variable pattern, which instead of the wildcard pattern where it matches anything, well, they both match anything, but the difference between this and the wildcard pattern we saw before is that this is a value that is set when this match occurs. So the matched value is given a name. So this here is a new name, just like a parameter name is a newly defined name. And then that name can be used in the expression. Just another thing that that you often will see is that there's sort of a shorthand form of this match expression. So this example uses the function keyword. It's exactly equivalent to this function here. You'll notice in the version with the function keyword, I don't even need to name the parameter. The function keyword takes whatever the parameter is given to the function and will match immediately against it without creating a name. Just to sort of round out what can be done just with the constant pattern, you can also, say, use, you know, like an enumeration type. And so here's an enumeration type where I have the type color with these values, and I can match against constant values, which are the enumeration constants. So another pattern we could look at is the tuple pattern.
And what is a tuple?
Well, a tuple is a group of associated values, and they don't have to necessarily be the same type, but they are part of a single construct called a tuple, and they are ordered. So there's a first element of a tuple, there's a second element of a tuple, third element, or however many there are. You might hear them called pairs or triples if there are, you know, two or three elements, and they, you know, they can be of different types. So I could have, you know, int, string, okay, double, that kind of thing.
Okay, great.
So if we use that as a pattern, then let's say we have a tuple that we want to, you know, go to various code or have various behaviors occur depending on, you know, the values in that tuple. So here's an example where we use a combination of constant pattern and the tuple pattern. If you look at this first one, I guess you could say pattern composition, because the tuple pattern is sort of this comma-separated and parenthesized construct. And then within each of those positions, within that tuple pattern, there are these sort of, I guess you could say, sub-patterns, where we could use a constant pattern, or in some cases, a variable pattern. Or you could use whatever pattern. But that shows that patterns can kind of be composed and nested together. And so if the tuple itself consists of two integers, both with the value 0, then that matches the first pattern. And you know, we print both values 0. The second pattern will match if the first element of the tuple is 0, and the second element will match regardless of what it is. This will print out that the first value is 0, and then it will print out the other value. The third match is the same idea, except the first value can be anything, and the second value is 0. And then the last match will occur if both values are non-zero. So this is an example of using the tuple pattern. Now, another sort of variation that might be useful is sort of you can use the as pattern, and that lets you create a name for the entire matched expression. So I can actually do that up in here. Like I could actually say zero tuple as the name for the match to this, and if I wanted to, I could, you know, then use that here. So that's the as pattern. So the as pattern is sort of can be used in conjunction with many of these other patterns. The other thing about patterns is that they are not limited to being used within the match expression. So this next example, the case where I have a function and where I, instead of having a regular sort of parameter list, I now have a pattern. And in F-sharp, functions general can take patterns. A sequence of parameters is just one example of a pattern that happens to be quite common. So just the same pattern that I just used with the tuple and the as pattern, and in fact these are variable patterns embedded within the tuple pattern, is used here in this function, my function. And so actually, even though when I call this function, I'm passing in a tuple with two integers, then A is set to 1, B is set to 1, and tuple 1 is set to 1, 1, which lets me have two variables, even though I only passed in, three variables, I guess, even though I passed in one tuple consisting of those two values. So, just to execute that, we can see that it prints the expected output. Now, patterns can also be associated with, it's called the identifier pattern, but associated with values of a discriminated union. So a discriminated union is a type that can have different sort of named cases, and there could be different values associated with those named cases. So in this example, I have a type called person name, and it has three different cases. Either I have first name only, so first only, and then the type is just a string for that. Last name only, that's also just a string. Or it could be first last, where now it's a pair of strings. And this is actually indication that there's a tuple of strings. When I say string star string, well, that's the way in which a tuple is represented when you're writing the type.
Okay.
So, anyway, I can use discriminated union cases, the identifiers for those cases, in the pattern matching expression as patterns. So here I can say, take the person name and match with first only, and then whenever I'm using a discriminated union, I pass in parameters that correspond to the values associated with that case. So, if it has values. So in this case, I create first name, I create the variable here, and then I can use it in my expression. And if there are two values, and they're actually in a tuple, in this case, then I can get both of those out and use them in my expression. So you can see this is a little bit richer, you know, than a simple case statement might be, because of the fact that I now associate data with each of the cases and extract it.
Right.
Now, lists are very commonly used in F#, and the list patterns are very useful. This is probably the most simple, common example of a list pattern, and this is used to create a recursive function that prints all of the elements of a list. And so what this does is it takes the list and it matches it with, this is here called the cons pattern. Cons is when you, it's an operation that lets you add an element to the front of a list. In this case, cons is not used as an operation that's producing a list, but it's actually being used as a pattern to break a list down. So I'm taking a list and matching it so that the first element gets the head, or matches in with this variable head. And so head gets the value of the first element, and then tail is actually a list, because the cons pattern has a list as the second element of the pattern. And so the rest of the list, in this case, elements 2, 3, and 4, end up being a list called tail. And so if you look at the types, this is an int list, and head is just an int. And so what we do is we print the first element, and then we call the function recursively with the tail, and that will match, again, printing the first element and calling the tail, which will match again, and then eventually you'll get the empty list. And so eventually the second pattern will be hit, and then we just don't print anything. So this will print the whole list. And the VM can run it, and there it is. There's the list. Okay, so those are some examples of patterns.
Okay, so in the topic you described a clause known as a guard. So how is that used?
Yeah, so sometimes it's not quite rich enough to just compare, with these patterns. Sometimes you need to have additional sort of conditions on whether something will match. So you can add these guards, which will guard against matches that you don't want, right? So the when keyword is used to write a guard. So you would add when after the pattern. Here it's a variable pattern. So a variable pattern is kind of indiscriminate, right? It matches pretty much anything if it's just used by itself. And so, you can imagine that it might be useful to restrict when it gets matched. And so in this case, we're saying that only match it when the variable has a value that's within a certain range. And so we've decided that we're going to pass in the midpoint of that range and that and the size of the range. And then when we call the function with the test value, it will only it will tell you whether it's in range or not. Because if it's not, if this guard, the conditions fail to be satisfied, then it will go to the wildcard pattern, which will match everything else, and it will tell you that it's out of range. So if we run this, passing in different size ranges, we get the expected output. Okay, so that's a when guard. So.
Great, thanks, Gordon.